reading of God's Word, excuse me, please. And we'll try our best to give you a little sugar stick tonight. Watch out for the briars that's inlaid within it. No, it's not that bad. I don't guess. I told Miss Hall there probably wouldn't be nobody left here but me when I got done. I'd probably have her out the back door as well. And anyhow, we're going to try to preach what God's laid on our heart. Do our best at it for tonight, okay? Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, if you would, please. Romans and chapter number 12. Romans and chapter number 12 in the Word of God tonight. I do appreciate the good liberty you gave me this morning to preach. I enjoyed it. You may not have, but I did. And I believe I could have just about run through the wall this morning. A couple of times anyhow. All right, Romans number 12, chapter 12. And I want to begin reading in verse number 17. Where the Bible said, "Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now let's pause to pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for your blessings, your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the song service, the testimonies, the privilege of being in God's house tonight. I pray for those, Lord, that's away from us tonight, especially those that are homesick, those, Lord, that are on beds of affliction. I pray for them, those that are facing, Lord, trials, and those that are facing medical procedures and so forth. We pray for them, that, Lord, that you would touch their body. It seems there's so much sickness in our land today, Lord. And you said in the Word of God that you'd suffer us not to have to have all these diseases as there was in the land of Egypt. So I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd bless Brother Hall as I stand. Bless your people. Give revival to their hearts. And I pray you'll regenerate lost sinners and save them by your grace. And Lord, may your precious, wonderful, and holy name be magnified above everything else. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. There's a great deal in these few verses that I could preach on tonight. And a great deal there that I could preach on concerning brotherly love and the fact that we ought to recompense no man for evil. Amen. That we ought to live together as much as lies within us, peaceably with all men. Right. And sometimes that's hard to do, but I tell you, a whole lot of the Bible, when people talk about living under grace, I'm going to tell you there's a whole lot of grace in the Bible that's hard to live by. Right. And I'm sure that would be one of them. Is to be able to live peaceably with all men. Amen. Now that is a great command from God, and I believe it would be difficult for us to do. He says that we're not to avenge ourselves, but we're to give place unto wrath. That is, we're just to stand back and let God take care of the situation. And for it is written, God said, "Vengeance is mine; I will repay," saith the Lord. And He said, if your enemy then hungers, said, "Feed him; if he thirst, give him drink," and if he's doing so, you're going to heap coals of fire upon that person's head, your enemy's head. And there's a lot there that could be preached from, and I may touch on those here in just a minute. But I want to take that last verse tonight, in verse number 21, where Brother Paul said, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And I simply want to take that and preach on some things that we need to overcome. Some things that we need to overcome. I believe the Lord wants us to be overcomers. When God delivered us, God did not deliver us just halfway. When God delivers all the way. Not halfway, three-quarters of the way, but God delivers all the way. And I think that the Bible does say that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 14, he talks about how that He causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. And so there is no excuse today for you and I as children of God to live below the standard level that God wants us to live. God wants us to live like we preached this morning, like tonight, pressing on the upward way. God wants us on that mountain sometime, not always in the valley. We can't always stay on the mountain. It's in the valley that we learn those precious things and lessons from the Lord. But there's got to be times on the mountain in order to strengthen us and lighten the load a little bit and give our hearts a little breather that we can go on serving God here in this land of the living. And so he said there to overcome, be not overcome of evil. Don't let evil overcome you. Don't let sinful ways overcome your life. But he said that we can overcome evil with good. And so I want to preach on that for a little while tonight, overcoming that evil with good. Now, there are several things that we know in the Bible that God has delivered us from, and they're very simple things, and we already understand it. We realize that God has overcome. God is an overcomer. Our forefathers overcome the land that God promised them. And they went in to dwell in that land of Canaan. For the Bible said in Numbers 13 and 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That is the land of milk that flowed with milk and honey. That's talking about Canaan, the promised land. The land that God promised to Israel while they were in captivity. He really promised it to Abraham years and years before that. And now he's making that promise. He made that promise come true. And Paul is reminding people about that. How that God that give them power to go in and possess the land. I want you to notice a couple of things that Caleb said there. He made the statement, he said, let us go up at once, without delay. And by the way, that Canaan land represents, I said it this morning, I'm going to say it again tonight, because I think God wants me to. It represents the Spirit-filled life of a child of God. It signifies or typifies the fact that we have crossed into that Canaan land experience, where the battle rages, but the victories have been promised to us there. And that's right. And it said, he said there that, he said, let us go up at once. And you know, we ought not to waste any time in our life about that. I remember when I was a young boy, and went off to Bible college. And I started hearing men talk about being filled with the Spirit of God. I hadn't heard much preaching on it. But I got a little hunger in my heart for what they were talking about. And I remember in Greer Camp Meeting in 1983, the first time that God ever filled me with the Spirit of God. And I think from that day onward, I have actually been living over on the other side of the Jordan River in that land of promise, that land that is filled with milk and honey. And when I heard about Canaan, I didn't sit back and twiddle my thumbs. At once, I begin to seek the face of God for that Spirit-filled life. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. You don't have to be afraid of the charismatics. Just because they take one Bible doctrine and carry it to extremes does not mean that you and I, as God's children, ought to sit back on our knees and let the good times roll and forget about that Spirit-filled life that God wants us to have. I'm going to tell you, I know you don't understand it. God's going to have, and I mean that, I know you people, and you don't understand that, but I'm telling you, God's going to have to get a hold of your heart and open up your understanding and reveal to you exactly what that Spirit-filled life entails, and God is going to have to put that desire and that want to in your heart for higher ground. That's what the song was singing, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. That is higher ground. God wants us on higher ground. He wants us on a higher plane. God wants on the other side where there is battles to be fought, but I'm glad there are victories also to be won over in the land of Canaan. And so he said, let's go up at once. And he said, possess it. You can possess it. That's right. You can possess your heart. And he said, we're well able to overcome it. There's no reason why every person in here ought not to be able to overcome whatever is hindering you and get into that land of promise, that spirit-filled life, where we're not drunk with wine, where it is in excess, but where we are filled with the Spirit. And there's no reason all of us in here ought not to be there. No reason whatsoever. We all ought to be on the other side. For he said we'd be well able to overcome it. And so there's nothing that should stop us from going in to that land. And then I want to say that, you know, that according to the Bible, I believe we can overcome the devil. So I know a lot of folks don't believe that, but John said in 1 John 2:13, he said, I write unto you young men because ye have, not might, not will someday, but because ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, he didn't say that there's coming a day when you get to heaven that you'll overcome him. He said, I'm writing unto you, young men, because you have overcome that wicked one. Now, somebody said, how does that happen? All I know is we need to lean on the cross. We want to lean on Christ. We want to lean on the church. We want to have to lean on the Word of God, trust the Word of God, and believe the Word of God. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that we can overcome that wicked one. Now, I realize he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I understand that. And I understand that he's deceitful. I understand that he's very subtle. I understand all these things. He's very crafty. But I'm telling you that wisdom is much higher than all of his craftiness and deception that he's got. God's wisdom is much higher than all of that. And God is able, I want to say it again, for you and I to overcome that wicked one. We can do that. That's in the Word of God. And then I want to say we're able, according to the Bible, we're able also to overcome false prophets. Now, somebody said, I don't know where they are, false prophets today. You better pray. And a whole lot of them are independent Baptist preachers. I say that honestly. Somebody said, you really mean that? If I didn't, I wouldn't have deliberately said it. If it had been a slip of the tongue, maybe, but it wasn't. I'm telling you, there's a lot of independent Baptist preachers that are false prophets, that they're not preaching the truth of the Word of God. They're not rightly dividing the Bible. I'm going to tell you what their problem is. Their God is their belly. Amen. And they're not looking for Christ. They're looking for fame and fortune is what they're looking for. They're not looking for Christ and the good love of God and revival and souls to be saved. They're looking out for number one and number one only. And therefore, the Bible calls them false prophets. And John said in John chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit. You know, I don't jump on everybody's bandwagon. I remember one time we was preaching, brother. We had a fellowship with Brother Gene Raisner's. And there were some fellas come up from another state and was there in a meeting. And Brother Raisner put one of the young men up. And he stopped preaching. And he looked back at Brother Nolan and he said, I don't understand. I'm up here preaching my heart out. And said, some of you old men in here said, ought to be encouraging us young preachers. Said, you won't even say amen. Brother Nolan dropped them glasses down, looked over the rim of them glasses, and he said, son, I give you a nod. How much more do you want? He said, I've had to spit out a lot of you young fellas like that. And that's absolutely right. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of them. Come on now. There's a whole lot of them that starts out. But I'm telling you, they don't finish up right. And Brother Nolan was simply saying there, I do not believe every spirit, but I'm going to try the spirits to see what sort of spirit they are of. And we can do that. And try those spirits and see what sort of spirit they are of. And he said, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And in verse 4 of that same chapter, he said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? Those false prophets. I'm telling you, as a child of God, come on now, as a child of God, God will give you and I spiritual discernment that we can understand right from wrong, and we can know the difference between a man of God and a harlot if we'll take that Bible and pray and seek God's face and try that man of what sort of spirit he is. God will reveal that to us. Better believe he will. God will reveal that. Somebody said, is it important? What do you think? It's really important. I don't want to be sitting under some cult leader, some false prophet, some televangelist that don't... Well, I started to say something, I better not say it. Hey, that's right. Most of them are just, most of them are dollar boys. Amen. That's right. All they want is money, money, money. They can raise the dead. They can heal people that are sick. Some most of them, I'd say, couldn't even pick their own nose. Amen. That's right. I wouldn't listen to one of them. I'm not going to listen to one of them. Amen. I can start with Benny Hinn, go right on down the road. Amen. Brother Herschel Wood called me yesterday. He said, Brother Hall, said, I'm in Nashville. And said, I'm here at a funeral. Said, I'm with my son-in-law and daughter. And said, he's driving. I thought I'd just call and see how you were doing. Knew you'd been sick. I said, I'm doing all right, Brother Herschel. How you doing? And we talked for a while. He said, hey, by the way, before we hang up, said, I got a letter from a lady up in your area. I said, she's written me two or three times. I said, well, good, good. And he said, well, I don't know if it's good or not. And she said, Brother Wood, she said, I really love your preaching, but. And he said, when I saw that little three-letter word, but, in there, I knew something was going on. And she said, you ought not to talk about Benny Hinn. And you ought not to talk about some of those other godly men that are on television. Well, I'm here to tell you I wouldn't watch one of them. Amen. I'm telling you, Kenneth Copeland, all that crowd that claims they can raise the dead. Kenneth Copeland said out of his own mouth that one of his deacons died and said he walked in the bedroom where he was at and got on his knees and commanded God. He's commanded God, said, you know I need him worse than you do, and I'm commanding you to raise him up. And said, God, raise that man up off the bed. I'm going to tell you what I'll tell you. A puny little man ain't never commanded God to do anything. God is a sovereign God with all power, and man does not command God. Don't command God. I'm going to tell you, these fellows are false. They're false prophets, friend. They talk about healing people, and they already proven that trick with them little old floor mats. They got electric shocks under them and one thing and another. Amen. I wonder what one of them do if a man walk up there and Benny Hinn said, sir, said, what can I do to heal you? You said, it's not, I don't need healing, Benny. It's you. Just let him heal his nose. Amen. I guarantee you we couldn't heal it. I'm telling you, I've read my Bible. And that stuff went out with the apostles. It's gone, ladies and gentlemen. And that, by the way, we have got a full revelation from God in the Bible. We don't need no more revelations like that anymore. We got the Bible. Amen. I'm going to tell you, this crowd telling people they got to work to be saved, they're false prophets. Tell me got to be baptized to be saved, they're false prophets. I don't make no apologies for it. Tell me got to speak in tongues to be saved, they're false prophets. I don't care who they are. Amen. But there's a lot of them out there today. That crowd of Baptists that tells you, just repeat this little prayer. False prophets. There's not a work of the Holy Ghost done in the heart of a man or a woman. They've never been to Calvary. They've never been saved. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? But God has given you an unction that overcome, that helps us to overcome that false prophet that's out there. Somebody said, how do you know? God says so in verse 4. He said, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? Them false prophets. And what is it that overcomes them? He said, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Woo! I'm glad I got a Holy Ghost living in me. That's got more power than all the false prophets. Put together and all the world put together. Thank God. And he's given us a power to overcome that crowd. I'm going to going to tell you that's right, and we can overcome them. Then I want to say that everybody knows this. I'll get to the message in a minute. We can overcome the world.
That's right.
I tell you, this world has got a hold on people. We're living in the most worldly age of the church that I believe it has ever lived. And I know it is in my lifetime, and I'm soon to be 64. Amen. And I'm telling you, we're living in the most worldly society that we've ever lived in, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you what most Baptists are. Now, don't get mad at me. I said most Baptists. But I'm telling you, most Baptists speak out of both sides of their mouth.
Amen.
I can preach on them. I am one. Right. Amen. They speak out of both sides of their mouth. They talk about loving God, and yet all they want to do is lay around on a, on a golf course.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Or at a racetrack. Or a theater house. Come on in the house. Praise God, I'm telling you. If we go back to those sins that God delivered us from, then I'm going to tell you where we're at. We're still in sin. God brought us out to be holy unto the Lord. That's right. And He said, we've overcome the world. God help us. I've never seen a Baptist yet go. I've never seen a Jew yet go back to Egypt. Not in the initial crossing. Those first generation. You know why? God put the Red Sea. He put some water between them and Egypt, friend. And God's put the water of the Word of God between you and I and Egypt. If you'll stay in that book, you ain't going back to Egypt.
Amen.
That's right. Come on in the house. Now listen what John says here. 1 John 5:4-5. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Amen.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
What overcomes the world is faith.
Amen.
By grace through faith. Hey, come on now.
Yes.
By grace through faith, are you saved?
Yes.
Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
By grace through faith, are you saved? And if faith overcomes the world, when you get saved, you overcome the world.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people talk about it.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell you something. It's not for the child of God. He said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? This is another part of it. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
Who is it that overcomes the world? What is it that overcomes the world? Faith overcomes the world.
Amen.
Who is it that overcomes the world? Those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, somebody said, well, everybody believes that. Oh, that's not, but you've got to go on and pray and meditate and get out what God told about. When he said that he believes he's the Son of God, I'm talking about the Son of God that came in flesh.
Amen.
The mystery of godliness. Christ was born and came in the flesh. Was seen of angels, caught back up to heaven, and he's coming again for you and I. Now, I didn't quote all that verse, but I give you enough to understand what I'm talking about. If you listen to what I'm saying, hallelujah to God. There's two things there. Number one is your faith overcomes the world. Those that believe overcome that Jesus is the Son of God. Overcomes the world. Amen.
Amen.
Now a lot of folks believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but then they'll turn around and tell you, now I'm just rambling tonight. He'll turn around and tell you they believe that in a spiritual resurrection, but not a bodily resurrection. I've heard that mess. But I'm telling you, Jesus didn't get up out of that tomb just spiritually. He got up out of that tomb with his body. A glorified body, an incorruptible body. Yes, I'm telling you, hey, and that same Jesus that was taken up from us is coming again, ladies and gentlemen. That same Jesus, hallelujah. I'm talking about the same God-man, the same perfect God-man. Amen, the holy God-man, the righteous God-man, the glorified God-man. Amen, he's come, the merciful God-man. He's coming again for us.
Amen.
better believe He is. Who overcomes the world? They that believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
A lot of people tell you they do, but I wonder if they really do. I'm going to tell you a lot of them that don't. Now, our message tonight. Some things that we need to overcome. He said, overcome. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And there are some things tonight that we can overcome. And I'm just not going to tell you the things we can overcome. I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you how to do it. And I want you to listen to me. I won't be long. Now I'm going to tell you. We can overcome discouragement in the heart. Somebody said, you talk about discouragement a lot. I'm going to tell you why. I look at faces every week and listen to people talk every week that I know that you've got a discouraged soul. I know that you're broken down. I know that. Most of you live out there in a world and work out there in a world that'll drive you crazy if you let them. They'll drag you down. You'll hear them cuss. You've got to look at their nakedness. Come on now. You've got to rub shoulders with them. These men that work in here, ladies, they ought to thank God they got a job in here. Amen to God. That's right. Don't have to fool with that mess out there like some of you fellas do. Praise God. I'm telling you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That mess will discourage you quick. Discourage your heart. They'll mock you, make fun of you. Some of you young men talking about going in the army. You better get ready, buddy.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm going in and get so I can get out from under authority. You're an idiot.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't going to get out from under no authority.
Amen.
You better listen to what I'm telling you. If you think you're discouraged now, you wait till you get in there. Some 265-pound, 6'6", master sergeant sets his foot in your back and says, get your you-know-what down.
Amen.
And when he puts you down, you know it. I guarantee you, when your belly hits the bottom, you go, ugh. And sometimes he don't get up. He just stands there a while.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you peanuts around here, you don't know what you in for, friend. I've had them to get up in my face, right in my face, and say, Private, would you go out with my wife? Well, no, Sergeant. What's the matter with you? My wife's not good enough for you, you sorry low-down devil. You so-and-so and so. You mean to tell me my wife's not good enough for you to go out with? Oh, yes, Sergeant, I'd go out. You dirty devil, you'd take my wife out? You can't win for losing with that crowd. You can't win for losing, friend.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you think you're discouraged now. You ready to sit down in one of them old wooden barracks like I did over there in Fort Knox and out at Fort Hill, Oklahoma, especially at Fort Hill. And the first day you get out there, it's pretty. And you say, well, this place ain't going to be so bad. And you wake up the next morning, and the bathroom is about three blocks down the street. And you wake up in that old wooden building with two stories in it, and you hear something going, say, what is that? And some guy said, that's the wind, fool, blowing through the cracks. And you step outside and you're skivvish to go to the bathhouse, and you realize from last night to this morning, it dropped about 40 degrees in temperature and the wind's blowing about 40 miles an hour. And for 2 months, the wind blows. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need about 2 months of the wind blowing around here. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost, the wind of God blowing in this place. It blows where it lifts us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't hear where it's coming from or where it's going, but you know when it passes by. You know when the wind blows. You tell it by the tree leaves that are shaking. There's always something. I'll tell you, when you get to blowing around here, a lot of folk would be shaking, boy. I don't know how I'm getting off on all that. Praise God. I'm talking about discouragement in the heart. And I'm going to tell you, don't think you can't get there. David did. Elijah did. John the Baptist did. A lot of other men did. I don't have time to preach on all of them, but there's a lot of them got discouraged. But I'm going to tell you, how you can overcome that discouragement. He said, overcome evil with good. I'm going to tell you how to overcome that discouragement. Number one, you're going to have to be dwelling on right things.
Amen.
See what most people do? They want to sit around and mollygub and dwell in their mind on their troubles. I'm going to tell you, if all you think about is your troubles, you'll stay in trouble.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, this is hard for me to preach. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm not a liar and I'm not a hypocrite. See, hey, we're terrible about dwelling on those things that are causing us complications in our life, whatever it might be.
Right.
And since what did I used to think, man, you know, there ain't no need for us to get down at all. Why, after all, praise God, we're saved, and, you know, and man, no need for us to get discouraged and everything. And just don't dwell on them things. If you don't dwell on them, everything will be all right. Now, I'm going to tell you, a few years ago, when that doctor called me out in the hallway and said, Mr. Hall, I'm talking about 10 years ago. Plus. And said, I've got bad news for you. You've got Parkinson's disease. Now I'm 53 years old. And I've already had spinal fusion on my lower back. And I know you can't tell it much now, but it's hurting. But in the morning, I'll tell it. If you come down and see me get up, being out of the chairs all day, you'll tell it. But I'm telling you what I've caught myself doing. I've caught myself sitting around day and night thinking about those sicknesses in my body. Oh, somebody said, I wouldn't do that. You're not 63 years old yet. But I'm going to tell you, when you get my age, you don't even have to get sick to die. You can just die, friend.
Amen.
Amen. I remember one time I had to eat cold. Something happened to Brother Steve had that indigestion. Boy, and I'm telling you, he started looking online at things, and he come in and he started talking to me about having cancer, this and that. And I said, Brother Steve, I said, don't look at that stuff. Let's forget about it. And now every time I come back, they said, you've got brain lesions in the white matter. I said, Brother Steve, look up brain lesions in the white matter. I want to know what that is. Look that up. Look this up. Look that up. Look this up. You know what I'm doing? Hey. I got to eat a little crow. Well, man, I'm going to tell you, if you eat them while it's hot, they bad. But here I am correcting him, and I'm doing the same thing. You know why I'm doing the same thing? We're all flesh. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if we dwell on what our problems are and what our sicknesses are and our ailments are, we're going to get discouraged about it.
Amen.
Guarantee you will. Amen. With your flesh. Like me. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I took Miss Haller cappuccino this morning. I set it down. I bent over to give her a hug, like I always do. She's sitting in her chair and she hugged my neck. And I sat there a minute and I raised up and I went, whoa. And I said, baby, I'm sorry. I said, for some reason, my back's hurting today. Oh, she said, let me guess. She said, your back's hurting. And I said, well, how'd you know? And she said, after you've heard it 10,000 times, you just know it. So I guess that's all I talk about to her. I said, we really have some conversation. I said, you never say a word, and I sit there and talk about how I'm going to die in the next 2 weeks. Talk about, oh, everything is wrong with me, and she don't ever say a word. She said, well, it's got to be that way. Wanted to talk, wanted to listen. I said, well, we ought to work out fine. Praise God. I can do all the talking. You just sit and listen. Amen. That's right. Stay right with me. But dwell on right things, not on your problems. Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. Now I'm telling you, if our minds are stayed on the Lord rather than on our problems, I'll guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, we can overcome discouragement within our heart.
Amen.
I want to say secondly, there's another way to overcome discouragement. Discovering new things. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about keeping your heart in exercise. So many people, after they've learned that they're saved by grace and they're sealed to the day of redemption, and there are 66 books in the Bible, they've arrived. They don't need to study anything else or know anything else. No, we need to keep our heart in exercise.
Amen.
That is, keep it laboring in the Word of God. Let it exercise a little bit.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to show you what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about, hey, I'm talking about discovering some new things. Matthew said in 13:52 of his book, he said, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. Now, come on in the house. I want to say, first of all, you cannot live on the old all the time. I've heard about 96, 96, 96. Well, bless the Lord, this is not 96. This is 2010, ladies and gentlemen. 96 is gone, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone, and it'll never be back.
Amen.
That's right. It's gone. And as we talk about those things of the past, now listen very carefully. Let me read my verse here first. I think I got a verse. I done read the verse. Listen very carefully. We can't live on the old only. But we can't let it go either. He said that householder brings out of the treasures of his house things both old and things new.
Amen.
What he's saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying those things that have been a blessing to you in the past, those good things, hold on to them. I'm glad, thank God, we remember 96. Hallelujah for it. That some of us haven't forgotten the work that God done in our hearts in here that day, that year. But I'm going to tell you something. We got to look in that book. And if we're going to get over discouragement, we're going to have to come up with something new every now and then. Now, it's good to know that Jesus was born of a virgin. But I'm telling you, if that's all you know, you don't know much.
Amen.
God wants us to know how to live. And we'll get in that book and begin to dig. And God will reveal to us by His Spirit through that book. I'm not talking about new revelations. I'm talking about what's written in that book. I'm just using the word reveal. If God will reveal to us through that Bible new truth about ourselves, about Christ, about His love for us, His mercy, His grace, the work of the church. Come on now. The work of the ministry. If we'll stop it, hey, and let God give us to reveal some of those things to us.
Yeah.
I'm going to say those new, what I would call, and there's nothing new in the sun, but those new revelations, yeah, is what I would call them, that God gives us. I've told you this, and I remember one year, Miss Donna, one day, rather, I was sitting in my office, and I was reading over in Genesis, and I read where those sons of Jacob had went down into Egypt to get that corn. And I believe it was on the second trip. The first trip was, I guess. They had left. And they put the money back in there. No, I guess it was the second trip. And they put that golden cup of Joseph's in that cup. Old Joseph sent his servant out. Said, you bring him in back to the house. Said, tell him. That servant went out and he said, hey. Said, I need to serve you sacks. Said, the one that's been found in, said, he's going to prison. They said, well, look, we didn't take the master's cup. We didn't take it. So he began to open them sacks. And in the mouth of the sack of Benjamin,
amen,
who was Joseph's baby brother, he found that cup. And I kept reading that, and that servant took them back to Joseph's house. And they come in there full of fear and trembling. That servant of Joseph's walked in and said, fear not! Fear not! And they're saying, fear not. And we've been accused of stealing his cup, stealing the money. And this is the second time we stole money from him. And you're telling us not to fear? And that servant said, I'm the one.
Amen.
I put treasures in your sack.
Hey.
Buddy, I'm telling you, when I read that, I sat in that room about that time, knocked him on the door, and I said, come in. And when old Charles Nicholson walked in, he started going, I said, what's wrong with you? He said, Brother Hall, you look like you've been plugged into a 440 outlet bulb. He said, what's your face to glow about? I said, Brother Charles, God has put treasures in our sacks, amen. It's the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, that puts those treasures in our sacks. Thank God. Hey, when they went down there, they had money, but they didn't have the corn. They come back with money and the corn. They went down there, they had money, but they come back with the corn and 10 wagon loads for their daddy. Woo! I'm telling you what, if the Holy Ghost had given us those new things. I'm going to tell you, we'll dwell on those old things that God's blessed us with, but look for those new things. I can take you over in the book of Isaiah where God said, through Isaiah said, God said, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. He's talking about revival.
Amen.
I'm going to do a new thing. I think it's Isaiah. It may not be. God said, I'll do a new thing.
Amen.
Boy, I wish God would do a new thing around
Amen.
Here. Oh, I would to God.
Amen.
He'd just rend the heavens and open up the windows of heaven and come down. There's so many of us in here, I'm telling you, and I'm one of them included, boy.
Yeah.
We're just a struggling along and limping along, and the ministry's limping along. Now, and I'm telling you, somebody said, well, what do we need? We need God!
Yeah.
You don't realize that, I don't think, but we need God!
Yeah.
We're more interested in worldly pleasures, come on now, and things of this world than we are having God in our life.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, we got to have God. He'll save our children. He'll rescue our friends and loved ones. And God will bless us with joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Woo! Thank God, I like for Him to show up. Amen. I like to squall like a wild man every now and then. You may not, but I do. Thank God. I like to see Brother Joe cut them chobies around here. I like to see him and Brother Andy getting a foot race some night. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, do you like that? Yes.
Amen.
Don't need it every service, but I do like it occasionally.
Amen.
If it starts from the heart, it's good.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's got to start in there first. But I'm telling you, generally what's in there works on the outside. If you're going to tell me the Holy Ghost that lives in you and works on the outside, you better believe it has.
Amen.
You men, some of you, bless God, had hair look like an ape when you got saved. Ponytails, bless God, hanging plumb to the ground. Some of you women had Ziploc haircuts, amen. Had your heads about shaved, in other words, what I'm saying.
Amen.
You wore them bullfighting breeches and them shorts, bless God, look like you've been melted and run down in them. But Jesus got a hold of you. Now I'm telling you, that Holy Ghost on the inside made a change on the outside. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, He'll make a change on the outside as well as on the inside. But it's got to start in there, and so does revival.
Amen.
Worship's got to start in there. Praise has got to start in there. It's got to originate in the heart of man, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Boy, I feel good. I better not say that. Preach. Hey, God, won't you say something instead of sitting there like a dead dog? Like a dead dog and a flea. Amen. So you've got to be discovering some new things. Then we've got to dissolve some old things. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind us. There's some things behind us we want to forget. That's right. If we're going to overcome discouragement, you can't be looking back toward home all the time. Boy, I'm telling you, when I went to Vietnam, you talk about a sad sack. God have mercy. Lord, I wanted to go home. Man, I could smell Mama's pinto beans and cornbread. Woo, Lordy. I could taste them coconut cream pies. With that head on it, buddy, that looked like a mountaintop. You know what that boy done today? I'm talking about that boy right there. I just about got up and just slapped his face. There we're sitting there eating dinner, and Miss Hall's got a big can of whipped cream to spray on the top of the cake. And he took a spoonful of it. The little fella here didn't want to eat the cake. He took a spoonful of it and just held him and just made him put it on his lips. And he almost started crying about it. I said, Andrew, I said, come over here. I said, Andrew, don't you do that. Andrew looked over and said, look, Josh, do it this way. And he took that candy. I said, great. Then he just... mean, buddy, he sprayed her on there. That's the way Mama's coconut cream pies was. And I'd lay in that foxhole more than I could taste that pie. Son, I'm telling you, I'd get so homesick. But I want to tell you something. I might be homesick for Mom and Daddy and where are you and some of the people that I know. But I've never been homesick for that worldly place God brought me out of. I never want to go back ever again. God help us, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing there for us to go back to. What's in Egypt that we want? Bunch of leeks and garlics and onions. Praise God! Give me manna, praise God! And fish and a little quail and some gold water. Now the great depth, you can't improve on that! Amen. Told his disciples when they said, "Brethren, you got any meat?" And they said, "No." Now they didn't, I don't think at first they knew that was the Lord, because they said, "No." I mean, just like some of these kids. "Hey, what are you doing?" "What? What? What?" Used to be "what." Now it's "what." Now I don't remember what I was at. Where was I at? Where was I at?
You were talking about cream pie just a second ago. And then before that, you were talking about... Hold on. I lost it too. You said what?
What was I talking about, Brother Joe? He don't know.
The Lord had asked the disciples if they had any meat. And they said,
huh?
The Lord had asked the disciples if they had any meat. And they said no.
Yeah. They said no. I don't believe they knew it was the Lord.
Amen.
He said, "Cast your net on the right side." They did, and they drew in a whole path full of fish, 153 of them. And they knew right then it was the Lord. John said, "It's the Lord." And Peter was naked and wrapped his coat about him and jumped in the sea.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Peter had led those men fishing. I don't know why I'm on this. Peter had led those men fishing. They got shotgun. Just shoot anything that comes to my mind. Amen. Peter said, "I go fishing." They said, "We're going with it." Hey, the Lord appeared to them. That was the third time he appeared to them. He said, "Children, you got any meat?" They said, "No." He said, "Cast the net on the right side and you'll catch it." 153 fish and the net didn't break. And the Bible said there were some little boats with them, and the little boats brought the net and the fish to land. But I'm going to tell you the amazing thing it is, when they come to land and the Lord had the bread and fish on the hot coals, he said something about the... He said,
"Bring of the meat you have
caught." Yeah, "Bring of the meat you have caught." And you know who drug it in? Peter! Peter drug her in! I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord fed him and laid him off, the Lord said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" You know what he's telling him? "You love me more than you do that stinking fish?"
Amen.
He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I do." He said, "Feed my lamb." He said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Again, he said, "Lord, I'll... You know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." He asked him the third time, said, "Hey, lovest thou me?" Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee." He said, "Feed my sheep." In other words, hey, don't get too attached, Peter, to what you used to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe this with my heart. A preacher of the gospel or to live with the gospel. If he's not going to live with the gospel, let him get out. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about like Brother Gray works here. I ain't talking about that at all. He is working in the gospel right here. I'm not talking about that to him. I'm talking about some of these guys that don't preach, don't do nothing nowhere. Secular work all the time.
Amen.
And I get called and wrecked over the coals by one of them up in Owensboro because I work full time through a church and draw a salary through a church. I'm some kind of a reprobate. I'm going to tell you who the reprobate is. Him. And I hope he's listening.
Amen.
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 He don't... Hey, he needs to read his Bible.
Amen.
Paul said that a man of the gospel, a preacher of the gospel, must live by the gospel.
Amen.
And then he said he's worthy of double honor if he wavers in the word and in the doctrine. Oh, I've heard all their stories. And I'm going to tell you, friend, people hadn't left them old things behind them. That's their problem. Now, I'm going to tell you why most men won't turn loose of the job. They ain't got enough faith to believe God. When I called a certain preacher and when I was in Greenville and said, I'm leaving Greenville and going to Arizona and start a church. He said, you'll starve to death, buddy. Praise God, I'm still getting around. Amen. I put on weight. I'm going to tell you, God never blessed me so more. Are you listening to me? God never blessed me so much in my life. I was never so thrilled to see God work in my life as much as I was. Friend, when I left Jeffersonville, Indiana, really Underwood, Indiana, and went down to Bible Baptist Church and started listening to Brother Nolan and left out of that place and went over to little old Rumsey. Man, I'm telling you, it was a different world. I didn't have money. I left everything behind. Cars, trucks, businesses, everything. Left her behind. I wasn't interested in what was back there. I wanted to do something for God.
Yes.
You know how much money I was making when I went there? Nothing. Me and Miss Hall cleaned people's houses, and my old folk worked for that little van, like that little van that comes by here. I can't remember the name of it now. What's that van that carries these old people around the places? It's like a bus. Huh? Max. PAX. Yeah, we worked with PAX. I'd drive a truck sometime. We'd go out. We went to one old man's house over in Rumsey. He said, what I want you to do is clean my baseboard. And I looked at them baseboards, and I could tell by looking at them. I said, honey, that's a rat track around that thing. Woo, you're talking about hard. Had to clean ovens. And I'm going to tell you, worked up there in an apartment complex. Got in a fight up there one day, me and the guy that owned the place, with a bunch of people. I stayed there as long as I could. I said, that's it. I'm not working there another day if I do starve to death. But I'm telling you, friend, it was a blessing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It was great joy. I had nothing. Our family had nothing. I'm going to tell you what I got Tammy Lynn for Christmas that one year. I got her a little wooden rhinoceros carved out of wood. That's what she gave me. She gave me a little wooden rhinoceros. Lisa, give me a little old book, Living in Joy. Are you listening to what? I'm telling you, we didn't have nothing. But I'll tell you what, God blessed us and God brought us through it and we lived the faith. And what a time we had! God brought us through it! Now, I didn't depend on another job. I depended on God. When I got to Bible college, I worked a year for one man. I don't know how we made it, but we made it. Me and Miss Hall both in Bible college and all the kids in school. And we paid it all, friend. God help us. And I was making minimum wage 30 hours a week. 2 years I worked for Addison Door Company. I don't know how in the world we made it, but I'm telling you, by the grace and help of God, we made it. Drove around in that old mobile car, and every time it rained, water would run in the front windshield, but we'd have to bail it out with buckets. What didn't run through the floorboard? Amen. It overheated so much, I don't know how he done it, but he put some kind of a fan belt on it, and it turned all the time. It had one of the motors where but he changed it where it just ran. And that thing had started up, and it sounded like a jet airplane. I mean, sitting there idling. And buddy, and here we'd roll into a church to preach. I said, God help us. Drove that little old station wagon around. We were driving up through Asheville, North Carolina. One day. I was across. I said, boy, I'm glad we got us a good car. About that time, it said, boom, boom. I said, what's going on? Boom, boom. I said, God help us. What's going on? Boom, boom. Now, Lord help us. Now, I'm telling you, friend, somebody said, were you having fun? Oh, he's a no, yes. And it was a blessing just to see God work. Just to see God work. In a poor boy's life, amen. And supply every need that I had. God supplied my need. God will supply your need also. No need to be discouraged. God will supply it. Hallelujah. Dissolve those things that are behind you. Forget those things back there. Abraham forgot Ur of the Chaldees. Paul forgot his phony religion that he had when he met God. And I won't say you can overcome, boy, that's going to be fun, disorder in the family. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? Hey, it's not easy to do. And I'm telling you, home, I don't know what time it is, praise God. 10 after 8, 12 after. I've got one point done. I'll cover this one and we'll go. But I'm telling you, God can overcome disorder in the family. And this is not an easy thing to do. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to start with prayer.
Amen.
Brother Paul said in Matthew 21, 22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Listen to what Peter said in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 3. Find it here, I believe it's in the New Testament. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I want to read what he said in verse 7 of that chapter. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, talking about their wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto her, unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You will never have peace in your home until mommy and daddy learns how to get on their knees somewhere and pray and call out to God. You might as well hang it up. If I was a woman married to a man that wasn't praying, I'd kick his hind end out the door. Amen. I wouldn't know. I don't believe in divorce. But I'd kick his hind end out the door and he'd pay me alimony and child support, buddy. Somebody said, you'd really do that? Try me. Amen. Got a bunch of sorry men. Let the women handle, carry all the spiritual part of their life while they jackleg around and become jacklegger deluxes and don't do anything. Come on in the house, praise God. Never pray. When was the last time daddy went off behind your house down in the woods and sat alone with God for a little while? When was the last time you went in your bedroom and sat alone with God for a little while? When was the last time you agonized with God for a little while? I'm talking about family praying. Now, I guarantee you, I'd go around and not put my finger on the families in here where the husband prays.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? It's got to start with some praying in the house.
Amen.
You're going to have order in your family. It'll tenderize you. It'll teach you to love that little woman. Teach her to love you. That's right.
Amen.
Then I won't say number two, and I'm running quickly. You got to stay patient. I said in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now somebody says, "What do you mean? You got to stay." That says patient in tribulation, honey. If you've been married very long, you know there's some tribulation there. I don't know a family that don't have problems. Preachers are not exempt from it. Come on, some of y'all are looking like you don't believe what I'm telling you. But you better have some patience about you to learn to keep your mouth shut when you ought to. Man without patience or a woman without patience can start an argument just that quick, friend. And if your temperament ain't what it ought to be, you can blow up in a minute. God help men that blow up on their wives and treat their wives wrong. I'm telling you, hey, if I had a husband like some of you, I'd take you out and horsewhip my living devil out of you.
Amen.
Amen. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Well, neither does the devil. You know whose side you're on.
Amen.
That's right. Some of you treat your wives like they're dogs, laugh at them, giggle at them, do things to embarrass them. You think you're going to have a happy family like that, friend? You have to be a little patient. And every time she says, You know what? I've got so patient. And Mandy can testify to this. She ate dinner with us today. And I'm not saying this to be detrimental, to say anything detrimental about my wife. But she just got this habit. She just burns food. It's just fact. She had something over today and I just dug into it. I said, boy, I love this burnt food. Man, I love it. Praise God, there ain't nothing like eating burnt food. Now, I noticed Mandy looking at me kind of weird. I said, it's good. Try it. Try it. I noticed she left it on her plate. But I'm going to tell you something. just being patient. Years ago, I said, this stuff's burnt up. I ain't eating that slop. That's probably what some of you men say right now. Get that mess out of my face. Come on in the house, men. Preaching time. I'm talking about patience, friend. I've been married 43 plus years, and she still burns it. And I still like it burnt. 1st biscuit she ever made me, I can throw it through that wall back there. But I'm telling you, I'm no better. You know what I've done down the mountain one time we were down there on vacation? She went to the down to the little old, what they call them, breakfast area, down to the breakfast area, and she ate, was eating, going to read something down there, so she brought me back something to the room I studied, and she walked back in there, and she had some cereal and some rolls and stuff, and she had 3 boiled eggs on a little plate. And they were hard-boiled eggs in the shell. And I said, they were cold. I said, them things cold. I said, I'm going to heat them up a little bit. I throw them boogers in the microwave. They done very well in the microwave. And I said, well, they're done. I pulled them out. So I turned the microwave off. And I pulled them out. And the minute I pulled them out, them 3 eggs that all at one time said, boom! Son, it went in my face, all over the bed, the floor. I mean, I had egg yellow and white everywhere. I got on the phone. I said, ma'am, they've been a little accident. But she said, sir, what's wrong? I said, I blowed up eggs everywhere. We come back that evening, and there's a sign hanging on the microwave that said, do not put hard-boiled eggs in the microwave. So I couldn't have done no better, Tyler. So I guess you could, huh, Buckwheat? You do better. Praise God, you got to be a little bit patient with that little woman. She is a weaker vessel. Be patient with her. Tender-hearted with her. Pray for her. Love her. Hallelujah. And by the way, big shot, you don't always have to be right. You don't always have to be Mr. Macho. You don't always have to put her down. Come on in the house, praise God. It's like Ralph Cranston. Remember the clubhouse, Alice? One of these days, over the moon! Somebody said, now, preacher, we don't act like that. I remember when I did. And your flesh doesn't like me. I'm going to tell you, young men got a long, long way to go, friend. Amen. Then you got to stay peaceful. Proverbs 15:1 said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What if you walked in one day from being on the job and say you'd stopped by the gun store and looked at some guns, and maybe you'd bought one, and your wife said, where have you been? Well, bless God, I've been to the gun store, if you want to know. And I bought a gun. Is it in your business? I'm going to tell you what you could have said. You could have said, sweetheart, I stopped off at the gun store, and I'm guilty I bought a gun. Well, bless God, we don't have the money for that. I know it, but I'm talking soft. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I saw it, and I really liked it.
I'll try that this week.
And if you don't want me to have it, I'll take it back and sell it. But no. You can go ahead and keep it. That'll be all right. Remember that. I'm telling you, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Soft answer turneth away wrath. You all think I'm something now. You should have seen me, baby, when I started preaching. I was pastoring out in Tucson, Arizona. And we had a board-run church out there. Former pastors on the board. And son, we got into a meeting one night, and I'm going to tell you, it turned into a shouting match. And the song leader really liked me. And when we got out there, we went on outside, and he said, Pastor Hall, said, remember that verse in Proverbs that talks about a soft answer turns away wrath? Try to remember that. I said, them guys in there were good. Bunch of devils. I uncovered 7 millionaires in that church of 50 people, buddy, running a business. What they were doing is running a school for the blind out of there, growing grants from the United States government to run it on, and didn't have a blind preacher there, not one. Had a blind man and woman that supposed to have been teaching, they wasn't teaching nothing. There wasn't nobody there. That grant money just kept rolling in. And when I found it in there on the computer, they had a fit. And needless to say, they got up the next Sunday morning and called me back in the office and said, "Preacher, we really feel like we love you a lot, and we really feel like you need to go." And I said, "Well, when God gets ready, I'll go." I said, "I will take a vacation, go back to Indiana and come back and see what God wants me to do." They said, "I'll give you $5,000 if you leave right now and never come back." I said, "Not for sale." I said, "If God tells me to stay here, bless God, I'll preach and fight you tooth and tone, every one of you egg-sucking devils." But when I got back, God said, "Go to Tucson." That's where I was supposed to go in the first place, Tucson. And we moved to Tucson, friend. And they called me in the office, and they said, "Now, we're not trying to buy you. You're already leaving." And said, "Believe it or not," said, "we do think a lot of you." They said, "We just got two different paths we're going down," and said, "We won't give you a check for $2,000 if you'll take it. We're not buying you. You're already leaving. You already got the truck over there. You're leaving. We just won't give you this." I said, "Well, since how you put it that way, give it here." And we moved to Tucson and started Sunday Shield Baptist Church. I'm still there today. I don't know how I got off on all this stuff. I guess we need a little laugh tonight. I didn't preach what I intended to preach, I tell you that. But I preach what God put in my heart to say to you. How about you tonight? Can you overcome some things in your life? Are you more than a conqueror? Does Christ always cause you to triumph in Him? We can be more than conquerors in Him. Let's stand together.